Hey guys, real quick, thanks for being on the show or coming and listening and all that. We really appreciate it. I just wanted to give you a little bit of a heads up. Today's episode features all four of us, which is awesome, and we talk a lot about the alpha for World of Warcraft Legion. And I'm telling you that so that you know there are some things we talk about that you may, if you don't want to play this game until it comes out, maybe spoilers in the story. Some of it seemed pretty mild to me. I just wanted to make sure I gave you the heads up. So just know that as we go in, we talk about a few characters and some of the artifact weapons and how we get those and things like that. So if none of that is something you want to hear, you may want to skip a big chunk of the first half of the show. Otherwise, dig in because it's awesome and it was really good having us all here. So anyway, enjoy yourselves. Have fun. Here's the show.
You're listening to The Instance.
Everybody, welcome back to The Instance. This is The Instance episode, 434, and it is the date of December 11th, 2015. We are a mere 8 days away or less from Star Wars, unless you live in France, which means you get it early, those bastards. Patrick will be on the ground telling us all about it. Hello, Patrick.
Listen, I'm a little bit raw right now. It's really difficult. You know, it's been... At this time, the time we're recording the show, it's been 24 hours. The Overwatch beta went away. I'm sorry.
You know, I don't know how you live. I don't know how you're existing in this plane without it, man. Because I know it's been kind of a big part of your life over the last few months.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
You know,
no more taquito grills.
No. Oh my gosh. Don't remind me. I love that. You know, it's a thing I hate. Oh, it's Dills from San Francisco. Hello, Dills.
Oh, hello.
Sorry.
Oh, hey, Dills.
This is the thing Dills would do when we'd play. He does it on a stream all the time, too. But the first I heard it was playing with Dills in a match where Hanzo shoots a stupid dragon arrow thing. Mm-hmm. And I hate that thing because I'm always in the way of it, it feels like. And then Dills yelled out Taquito Grill because that sounds like that's what he's yelling. Yep. And now it's a permanent thing in my head. I cannot unhear it. So
it's the taquito grill. That is what happens
but,
when he.
Yeah. So the thing is, it sounds nothing like taquito grill. He says, I'm fortunate enough to know a little bit of Japanese, and he says, Ryuga wagateki okurai. How do you understand taquito
grill? I heard taquito grill.
Wait, I heard taquito grill when you said that.
Oh, yeah. Okay. It must be my ear that's a little weird.
Yeah.
Okay, wait. But yell it like he says it, though.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I'm going to move away from the mic a little
bit. Sure. Yeah, you got to actually. Yeah, you got to.
Okay. Ryuga wa kateki okurae.
See? That's pretty good.
Is it? Well, did you hear taquito grills again?
It made me hungry for bad freezer food.
Okay.
Yeah. See, maybe it's because I'm always blasting away with some sort of firepower, but I always heard. Ooh, I got taquito grill.
Okay. No, but now that you say it, I kind of understand a little bit where you're coming from. I don't hear it because I don't hear race. I race deaf.
Yeah.
But
he was a white guy who's just yelling taquito grill.
No, he's Japanese because you don't see race.
I always assume everyone is
just white.
Just like me.
That's a different problem. That is a different problem.
We assume everyone is a white, non-ethnic.
A white, blonde, blue-eyed male.
Yeah,
like
of course. Yeah, that's nothing wrong with that. That's never gotten anyone in trouble before. It's fine.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's totally fine.
Let's talk about Overwatch afterwards.
Yeah, we'll talk about it after we talk about WoW. But there's something changed in that world.
What is there to talk about? It's gone.
It is gone.
All we're going to do is make ourselves sad.
I know.
No, but we can remember the good times.
There's good news. There's some good news with it.
There's
some stuff about Overwatch that is very good news, especially in light of some weird decisions Blizzard made lately with like some of their other games and how they are dealing with like pricing and player attraction and some other stuff. And specifically in Heroes, which we won't talk about in depth here. But we will refer you to a couple of good podcasts later that will surely be talking to death about those subjects. So we'll get to all that in a minute. But there has been alpha time, at least for a couple of us. Terpster should show up. He's had some time with the alpha as well. So if he pops into the show, he'll talk to us. Either way, we're ready for Legion. I'm really ready for Legion. And I quite like what I've played so far. Let's talk about what we've seen in the alpha and also the benefit or downsides of even playing such a thing at this stage of the game, or whether or not we'd like to wait for most of what we get when it comes here. But since we last spoke, Patrick, you've gotten it. You've had some time in there. You've clearly not played Shaman because no one can. But other than that, a lot of things are sort of laid bare. Do you have any impressions from your time in there?
Yeah. So basically, after the show we did last week, I got a privileged contact from a few people. A few people told me, hey, so you're not in the alpha, from the company, including my old boss. He was like, oh, you're not in the alpha, I'll get you in. So clearly we're still privileged. And the only thing I had to do in order to get the alpha was promise for the video viewers that I would wear those glasses indefinitely until the alpha stops. And the I Love WoW glasses, I think, are very fitting. Mm-hmm. They're absolutely fashion forward. And I don't have a problem wearing them forever in order to have the privilege of playing the alpha. So there you go. Wow.
Dedicated gamer you are.
Dedicated to the audience of the instance. Yeah. That's what
of
I am.
Of course you are.
It's really not for myself that I'm enjoying the game.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so I basically got into the alpha thanks to very kind people at the company, and I played through the entire Demon Hunter introduction, and I also got the artifact. I went through the artifact quest line, and I have to say, so there are good and bad things. I think
who'd you do the artifact quest line for the Demon Hunter or something else?
Yeah, for the Demon Hunter.
Oh, okay.
I also started Mage, and I started the quest, but I get into the feeling weird territory where I don't want to go too far, because then I want to experience it when it's live as well, which we've discussed, and it's always the same in every beta. Mm. But yeah, on the Demon Hunter side, I went all the way to getting the artifact. And so I think graphically it's not amazing. There's a lot, what we were talking about last week, there's a lot of hey, here's a green rock and here's some green fire, and guess what, it's a green demon. Oh no. Yeah. You won't believe it.
There's a lot of green. It's like a giant Nvidia logo exploded on the world. It's a lot basically of green, man. Yeah.
However, I'm really loving the gameplay of the Demon Hunter. And, you know, the quest structure is pretty good. It's similar to the quest structure for the previous heroic class, the Death Knight, with a little bit less phasing, but with less, actually almost no phasing. But the gameplay is super fun. It's incredibly mobile. It has mobile in the sense of you're moving around, not you know, hanging out with your smartphone. It's very mobile. It's super dynamic, and it feels like there's a lot of spells and abilities that need to have a very reactive servers. You know, there are very few, well, not very few, but less targeted spells or targeted abilities. There's this dash that you can dash through enemies, and it's kind of like Genji's dash in Overwatch. That's maybe why I like it so much. You dash through them and you damage them, and there's the I-beam that feels awesome because it deals insane amounts of damage.
Yeah.
And you're just destroying groups of enemies in front of you. I think it might be the most powerful AoE in the game.
Seems also a little, don't you think it's a little, oh, that's interesting, most powerful AoE. I didn't even occur to me that it was AoE. I thought it was targeted, but you're telling me that I was doing area damage with that thing?
Yeah, it's a cone in front of you. It's a line in front of you, but it's basically it reaches all the enemies in that zone.
Oh, it wasn't clear to me, I guess. Well, and I never really had too many batches of enemies. I was always I was one on one a lot. But anyway, keep going. This is great.
And So I'm really enjoying it. It feels like twice as dynamic as any other class you've ever played, including the monk, which already kind of felt very dynamic. So I'm really liking it. The quest line is fun. You go through everything that happened basically as you were preparing for the, it might be minor spoilerish here, but we know it has to do with the Black Temple. And basically you're preparing for the glorious battle of the Black Temple, where you're going to help Lord Illidan.
Yeah.
And you basically the movie that concludes the quest line is not implemented yet, but you can imagine that you're like, yes, we're going to save Lord Illidan. And you go through and the heroes that you were playing in Outland back in Burning Crusade are steamrolling through all of the bosses. And you're like, oh, crap. All right. So I guess I'm going to go to prison now.
Yeah.
So that's fun. So yeah, I'm really like, and the scenaristically, it's pretty well done. Then you wake up and Maiev Shadow Song is right in front of you. And she's like, all right, I really didn't want to have to do this, but the Legion crap exploded all over Azeroth. So we have to get you out now. Come and help us. And you're always, you have to find the balance. Well, not you have to find the balance, but you see around you the demon hunters that succumb to the power of the Burning Legion that they're trying to absorb, and you are managing to master it, but at the same time, you know you're doing something that isn't, you're playing with not fire, but fail fire. Mm. So it's even more dangerous than playing with fire. Don't do it, kids. Mm. yeah, it's just a good, fun version of a new WoW adventure. And then getting back to Dalaran, I think Wrath of the Lich King is the expansion I've liked the most. And getting back into Dalaran, it's going to do nothing for anyone who hasn't played it before, but it's already been, what, 6 years?
Yeah,
since we were in Dalaran?
Well, hold on. It was 2008.
2008, 2009, because it's when I started working at Blizzard.
Yeah, fall of 2008, that's right, yeah. Crazy.
So it's, 6, 7 years, it's been so long, it's like, for some people, half a lifetime away. And I was such a different person back then. You don't realize how long ago it was. And it's very nostalgic in the same way. So I'm liking what I'm seeing so far in Legion. And I'm looking forward to doing more. And the artifacts are super, I mean, they look super fun, and their talent trees and everything we discussed last time are like, motivating to get you to play more and find out more about the the abilities that you can get, and that basically that carrot that you get when you're leveling to get more abilities and get more buttons to push, or more fun buttons to push, seems like it's going to continue with the artifacts after you've reached level cap. So that is pretty cool as well. I'm liking it.
So you mentioned at the top just briefly about alphas and betas and whether or not they, they're helpful for us.
I can uninstall the alpha, by the way, now, because Patrick has told me everything I need to know.
And that's the before the show started, Dills is like, I have it installed, but I haven't had the heart to click it.
I haven't clicked it yet. It is installed. 26 gigs of whatever has been installed, I'm afraid. I don't want. See, it sounds to me like you went in there and did a lot of stuff, and I don't want to do all that stuff and then do it all again, because World of Warcraft to me right now feels like, it's hard enough for it to hold my attention.
Right.
And if I play it once and then I go play it again, I might be like, the second time I might be like, oh yeah, this thing. I don't want the feeling of, oh yeah, this thing.
Yeah.
When I'm playing it, when it like launches.
Yeah. And on the flip side, let's say the expansion is just awesome and the greatest thing you've ever played. You'll be playing it in an unfinished state now and then being asked to do it again. And part of you might be like, well, damn it, this is great. I don't want to see all this now. I want to do this. I want to do it when it's finished, or when it's all working, or when the cinematics for the end thing are done, or whatever. Like, there's a lot of reasons. It's so funny. There's a lot of reasons to play an alpha, and there are a lot of reasons not to.
Yeah. No. I mean, I want to get in there. And I want to help Blizzard out and do some testing.
Yeah.
Tell them what I find. Yeah. But I also I'm just scared, because this game has been like such a big part of my life for so many years now.
Mm.
And it's weird to be in this, to be in this time of World of Warcraft for me, where I log in and I'm just like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do right now. And I actually did play a bunch last week. I did a bunch of PvP. I leveled some alts. Like, I was actually playing the game and enjoying myself again.
Yeah.
And that was a cool feeling. And I was just like, oh my God, I missed this so much. I missed tabbing and shooting people with my hunter.
Mm-hmm.
I missed that. And I was doing it, and it was awesome. And I was just like, okay, I wanted to like bottle it up, and be able to like access that whenever I wanted, and I'm just scared of like I'm scared of overdoing it again, right?
Yeah, no,
maybe
I understand.
One of the reasons why I'm not as into World of Warcraft as I used to be is that I overdid the hell out of it, right?
Right.
Well, we all did. We all did. I mean, remember, this was a game we played every day for years. Like,
hours
literally,
and hours.
Hours every day for years. And now I'm completely, like, I'm enjoying the alpha. I don't think I'm going to be playing continuously until it launches. It's launching in summer, so that would be ridiculous. But
you're not going to go in there and grind every day?
No.
Grind out your Fellfire quest?
Actually, I might even take off
these... funky glasses on?
Whoa!
Hey!
Look who that is!
Hello.
Did you not get the memo about the funky glasses?
No, I did not get the memo. This is bullshit, isn't it? This is unfortunate.
It is a bit of bullshit.
I've got nothing. Oh, yeah, have you got... Yeah, can I borrow someone's glasses?
Can someone get Terpster some funky glasses?
Are you at the
funky
office?
Funky as they are. Yeah.
Oh, you've got to have funky.
I've just come off a charity stream.
Yeah.
What have we got?
You got to have
that'll
funky
do.
Glasses
They're
there.
That close enough. Yeah. These are pretty funky.
Put those on. Let's see.
I won't be able to see anything on these.
Chat room will see
these.
Wow,
there you go.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, you wild, crazy man.
Yeah, this is how we live it up in the UK. Just put on some... Oh.
See, wait a second. Okay,
Patrick
wait a second.
Took off glasses and had
I
more
took
glasses
off my,
underneath.
I did.
It's like that
this
gift.
Is the
my
French
God.
Way. However, yeah. However... What is this voluptuous beard, Derpster?
Oh, yeah.
What is it?
It's looking amazing. You're looking like a full-grown man.
That's what happened. Puberty came along, and it just, you know, it just really kicked in. And I was just like, wow, that's all it took. Was that and some hair and mane.
Did it?
Tailor mane, even, sorry, the horse stuff.
Oh, sorry. Right.
Are you at the point where you're putting oils and stuff in
it? No, exactly. That's the... I don't want to go down that route, you know, where you start... caring a bit too much about yourself.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to look after myself. I made myself a promise when I started playing WoW. Uh-huh. I said, I'm going
to
neglect this temple. This temple is no longer sacred. Let's try and, you know, ruin it
from
where we can.
I think the whole point of having a beard is to just be like wild and like just, I just let it grow, man.
Yeah.
Like, but then when you're starting to tend to it and put stuff on it all the
exactly.
time, like, really?
People come up to me and they say, why have you got such a big beard? And I say, because I'm in the Legion Alpha.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, so, I get it.
I just spent about 10 minutes telling people about my experience in the Alpha. How about you say what you felt and we explain to you why you're wrong?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So it's very much an alpha. Every time I click on something I want to do, it's like, this is not implemented yet. And I'm like, oh, cool. Okay. Well, hang on. Oh, let me try. Oh, don't try a warrior. Let me make him. This is not implemented yet. I was like, oh, okay. So of the three things that are in the alpha, I've enjoyed all of them. I mean, can we spoil stuff?
Yes, it's fine.
Like,
yes.
Yeah, exactly. So,
just a little bit.
Within like 2 minutes of logging in as a paladin, they're like, Tyrion Fordring's dying. And you're like, okay, well, we called that. Okay, fair enough. And it's like, let's go and save him. I'm like, oh, maybe he doesn't die. And then 2 minutes in, Tyrion Fordring's dead. You're like, oh, okay, cool. But the other artifacts look really cool and really exciting. Like there's Tyr's hammer from Tyr's hand. So Tyr was a Titan watcher. That in I think it's Western Plaguelands. Mm. It's where like his hand got cut off, but it's from the Norse mythology of Tyr, the human hero who saves the day.
Spoiler: Tyr gets his hand cut off.
He got his hand bitten off by a wolf, which I think was Loki or something to that effect. I forget. Yeah. But basically, apparently, that's Game of Thrones as well because Jaime got his hand cut off and he's the prince who was promised. Is what some people think, but I don't know. Yeah. If you do the Norse mythology interpretation of Game of Thrones, A Song of Fire and Ice and Fire. But anyway, so I love that. And I was like, hang on a second. So we get Ashbringer, but Tyrion died. We get Doomhammer. Shit, does Thrall die? Let me go make a Shaman. Oh, wait, no, not implemented. You're not allowed to play Shaman yet. And so I don't know if that's just one big spoilery thing, but then I thought, well, maybe not because... They'd probably let you pick one of the other ones.
Well, we don't think so. We don't think so, but who knows?
There's two Doomhammers as well. Because we just came back from alternate Draenor, there was a Doomhammer there that Blackhand, I think it was. No, it was probably Doomhammer, still had. So we could potentially go and get that one or the essence of it or some bollocks.
It also makes sense that that one needs leveling. You know what I mean? Like
exactly. Yeah. It's not as cool as Thrall. He's like, I don't need two, brother. You can have this one. You're like, okay, cool.
It's not like Ashbringer needs leveling, you know? It's kind of powerful already. It's been leveled throughout the
game. But it felt very kind of B-movie, sort of like, ah,
You have found Aspinger, but you are not pure enough of heart to... Oh my gosh, he's pure enough of heart! No! But you can't defeat me! Oh no, you defeated me!
And then it's... Yeah, well, it just,
that's
yeah.
that's always everything it that happens
really
in WoW.
Hammy. I mean, it was really cheesy.
It's the same thing in the Demon Hunter quest lines. Basically, yeah. I think you meet about, I don't know, maybe 5 or 6 demons that go like, ah, you think you're a real demon, but I'll show you the true power of the Legion. Yeah. And they're like, oh, okay, you win. You keep going. And
That is 90% of the alpha is people telling you that you're not good enough, and then you being
proving that you actually are.
Yeah.
Well, watch me press these. Really?
I think you find my rotations pretty refined.
How's the reworked rotation and you know the abilities that they've reworked to make the paladins and every class more paladiny and every classy.
So that's to be honest with you, from the ones I've played, which I'd say are all of them. I haven't really noticed. I haven't played the Survival Hunter yet, so I don't know what the Melee Hunter's plays like. Mm. But the Paladin plays like my Rep Paladin used to play, and I don't think they've made too many changes there. The Warrior was a Fury Warrior. Felt good. The animations are amazing. They've redone all the animations, which a lot of people don't really talk about. I don't know if you guys have, but like just seeing a Fury Warrior with 2 weapons swinging around in different ways, depending which button I press, actually it feels like there's a lot more game where there wasn't really before. And just like, it feels like a modern game. So that's really fun to see. The class halls, it was weird kind of having this amazing thing where suddenly I was made High Lord of all paladins. You know, I had to reform the Silver Hand and everyone's like, you're just an absolute badass. But obviously it was a brand new character that I just made. And some people might do that with their kind of boost to level 100 picking up Legion, in which case you wonder why everyone gives so much kind of credit to you. And even on my character, like my paladin's fairly casual, and yet I'm going to rock in there and apparently I'm like the greatest paladin there ever has been. I'm like, well, not really. I leveled up mainly through quests and dungeons. I did a raid finder on this other thing a while ago, but I wouldn't say like the best paladin ever.
All right, now you're nitpicking. Now you're being an ass. It's obvious. Yeah, I mean, this is
how
game.
MMOs work.
Yeah. Well, exactly. And everyone else obviously is running around with their sweet Ashbringers and they're the High Lord. But I'm hoping in the next expansion it addresses it. And it talks about, you know, hang on, these other players have been saying they're High Lord. Go take them out. It's a PvP-focused expansion.
Oh, that'd be great.
Where, you know, we claim the crown.
Yeah, that'd be great and terrible. It'd be the worst thing ever.
Exactly. Yeah. It is genuinely really good fun. It's nice kind of running around. There's definitely a load of nostalgic hits from pretty much every WoW expansion. Depending which zone you go to, there's something that kind of harks back to a previous WoW expansion. So they're definitely, their target audience is... us and people who, you know, people who play WoW. Mm-hmm. This doesn't feel like it's reaching out saying like, hey kids, give an MMO a go. I think they're deciding like, let's just try and get people who love WoW back into WoW.
That makes
a lot of sense, honestly, because you're not going to get back to 12 million and why even try?
You know? Well, exactly. Well, you could if you got all those 12 million back, and I think all 12 million could come back quite easily with this expansion.
But at least like a good percentage of those people are just people who just were trying it because it was the hot thing at the time, right? Like,
I don't even know. Well, because it was, you know, hundreds and hundreds of millions of people have played WoW. Like, they announced the 100 million thing ages ago, and they've never announced it since because they fell into the same trap that all these game companies fall into, which is, hey, here's a really big number. And it's like, oh, shit, actually, now if we announce the other bigger one, then we're going to be, you know, announcing when it's smaller as well, or people are going to ask us, are you still...
Oh, that's been going on for 10 years, yeah.
Well, exactly. So I think that, you know, a lot of people have tried and played Warcraft, but... the 12 million subscribers, I think, are people who enjoy and play the game. So I think you could easily get that. But everyone's growing up. Everyone gets more responsibility and less time. And, you know, the game is growing with us. And yet they're putting in stuff like the Valor upgrades in other areas that are going to demand more time from people. Dungeons being scalable. They got loot goblins in there now. It feels like Diablo and WoW have never been closer. And I think, you know, Jay Wilson being on the team certainly is helping that. So I love where Jay Wilson is.
Is Jay Wilson on the WoW team?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's on team 2. Yeah, mm-hmm. Well, and he's doing his other thing as well, I think. Ah. But he's you know, he's rocking it out. He plays a holy priest, and I think they're getting a lot of love. Well,
that's where he went after the change up in Diablo. Anyway, I don't know what I mean. What's he is focused on something new though, right? Isn't there some?
No, I think he's I think he's across teams.
Oh, okay.
But he was on the panel at BlizzCon. You know, he was up on the stage with the rest of the Team 2 devs, chatting through, you know, Legion and how it's amazing, and it is, like, you know, I give it a hard time, but it's still the best MMO out there, and it's got like three things to do in it. It's really special. It's really good fun, and it feels very Warcrafty and yet new and modern. If you go back to playing WoW after, and you start looking at, you know, how the characters move, there's especially, like I said, with some of the new attack animations and stuff like that, it feels really fluid and quite dynamic.
Yeah, that part, that is a part.
Even though the combat's the same,
sure,
it looks and feels more special.
That was a thing that struck me immediately, was going back and then popping into my garrison and picking up my dude and just running around doing stuff. And I just thought, oh, it just feels different. And in a very positive way so far. So I think that if you're avoiding the alpha, if you're like Dills and you're like, you know what, I don't know if I want to do it, just know that it does feel like they're at least making a really strong effort to deliver on what they keep promising about enhancing the fantasy of your character and of its class, and the way things feel more actiony without feeling like they're trying to make it twitchy. It's kind of hard to explain, but yeah, I noticed that too. There's a distinct, I mean, you know you're playing WoW. You're immediately struck with, oh, well, this is WoW. There's a lot of green fire here. You know, you just start to know, there's no denying that this is World of Warcraft, but it's still there are fundamental changes to characters and classes that feel pretty good, at least on the surface. And I haven't messed with, you know, we haven't gone that deep because I'm like Dills. I don't want to necessarily go all in at this point.
Yeah. How does it feel as far as like, do you feel like you have to relearn things? Because a lot of times when they rework classes like this, a lot of people are kind of turned off by that, where, oh, I got really good at maging. Now I have to learn how to mage again. Like,
I mean,
no,
because mages are very similar, to be honest with you. Again, I mean, it's
tough one button.
To,
spam. Okay.
Well, exactly. I was playing a fire mage, and like the rotation is very. It felt very familiar.
Okay. The rotation is similar, things. But it's basically the same. But it basically gives you more of what you liked in your rotation. Like, I played a little bit of my fire mage, and when you get your hot streak, you get the free pyre blast like, what, 2-3 sometimes 4 times in a row, so you feel like, yeah, blah 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 blah, you're gonna explode, and you know, you're screaming your fire mage fantasy at the top of your lungs. You're like, yes, I am exploding your face, you evil monster.
Yeah, your neighbors aren't weirded out by you at all, are they?
At all. Well, you know, I do the incense. They know I'm weird.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, I mean, for what I've tried, which admittedly it's like Scott, it's very surface, but it feels like the same with more of what you liked of what was there. Okay. Is that a fair assessment?
Sure.
Turfster?
Yeah. That's
how it feels to me.
I think
too.
So. And again, it's tricky because I've played a lot of classes that I don't normally play. So I'm you're confronted with an empty action bar. You can't really switch specs on a lot of characters. They're locked to a spec. Sometimes
anybody try out the pirate rogue thing?
No.
Not yet. No, okay. That's the thing. I don't know if you can yet.
Shamans aren't available. Yeah. And
shamans not,
some
not in
other
any way.
Specs of certain classes.
Yeah, so
are
for
not
example,
okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Outlaw
so, like,
Rogue is. You can do that now. Outlaw Rogues, but other than that, I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah. This sounds very alpha then.
Yeah. Exactly. And so a lot of the artifact weapons in those quests just aren't in there yet or just aren't available. Mm. So you can preview the models. So like the Windrunner bow, which a lot of hunters and a lot of Alaria and Tyrellian fans out there are like, oh, we're going to find out what's happened to Alaria and, you know, try and find the bow of the Windrunners. Ooh. But you can't do it yet. You can right click and preview the model when on the selection screen, but you can't do lots of things.
Yeah.
We're like 6 to 8 months away from the release too. So it's still very, relatively early stages.
Well, at the same time, I don't know. It kind of feels like a lot of this work is probably done. It's just not to the point where they're like, yeah, let's test it.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like all the content's probably there, but it might be like, you know, having placeholder animations or cutscenes aren't putting in right. like the voice work as well. It's really weird. As a paladin, you've got this voice character who comes along from the Argent Crusade at the beginning, who's like, oh, paladin, great. It's great to see you. Oh, we need to help you, Tyrion Fordrin. And then you right click on him to get the quest, and it turns to the default male human voice, being like, well met, champion. And it's just like a completely different. And I was like, what? This is really weird. And it kind of is those little things that I hope will change.
Oh, of course.
And you
they
don't
will.
Know. Well, you say, of course, but are they going to get that voice actor to re-record all the standing default lines for that character? I hope so.
Maybe. I remember playing the Pandaria beta, not even alpha, but beta was kind of janky. I don't know if you guys remember, but like pandas were running around with their arms outstretched and
the animations locked. Everyone loves a bit of that. Yeah.
It was all jacked up. But at one point, there was some of that where you'd talk to a Pandaren who would say, oh, welcome to the hoo-ha or whatever, and he'd say things. And then you'd click him again and it would be like an orc voice or, something else was in there. They tend to go back and iron that stuff out. So if it's a goof, I think they'll fix it. If they just don't care that it's slightly different human voice, like Agra was like that in Warlords. Agra? Yeah.
Yeah, Thrall's voice.
I feel like they pay close enough attention to that stuff at Blizzard these days.
Right. But
it's weird when you watch like a TV show and you can clearly tell that they like voiceover later or something.
Yeah, I hate that.
And it's just completely obvious, like the tone is completely different. So I think I have confidence after what happened in Overwatch with the sound. But they're not screwing around with sound.
No, freaking sound work in Overwatch. Good Lord, it's good. It's
we're gonna put a slider on Outlaw.
The Outlaw Rogue is in the alpha.
It just is.
Well, I knew the outlaw was, but he's not the pirate guy, right? He's a different dude, different spec, right? Who's the pirate one?
Yeah.
No, it's the pirate.
Outlaw pirate? Yeah, he's in. I knew that. Yeah. So I thought you were talking about something else.
You have assassination, outlaw, and subtlety.
Yeah.
Okay. An outlaw replaced what?
Subtlety.
Subtlety?
No.
You still have combat.
Combat rogue is now. Yeah. I should have known that. I sat in the thing where they talked about it. It's cool. It's it's an alpha though. It's definitely got its problems and its bugs and its issues. But it does feel. It feels like. I guess what I was doing with the comparison to the Pandaren one is this feels a little more farther along to me than that did. I definitely am feeling the compressed workflow. Like they're just. This all feels faster than it has in the past, and I don't know what to expect as far as updates go, but I can tell you that there's a bunch of weird stuff in it right now that you can see that is that deals with the event. So the launch event stuff, think back to Burning Crusade when we got the plague and all that. It's like that sort of thing. So this is all early alpha. The Legion are going to invade from different zones in Azeroth. They'll be found in Teneris, Hillsbrad, and Wetlands. Right now they can be. They'll probably be more than that. There are small invasions, larger invasions, and then named NPCs marked on the map where you are in each one of those zones. There's presumably a bunch of questing to be done there, although that's not all in place. There are a few quests in there that are related. Piloting a vehicle to kill Legion invaders, as well as timed kills. Several of the invasion sites have a chest you can open. Now, here's the only problem. Right now, when you open those things up, it is nothing but placeholder stuff from Timeless Isle. So it's literally Timeless Isle items in these chests, which
that's
is
disappointing.
It's an alpha. It's an alpha, but that's still disappointing, isn't it?
Yeah.
You're like,
come on, just something.
Anything better than they put some troll sweat in there or something. Give us something. So that's going on. And what else? There are also buffs you can pick up in some of the invasion sites. There's something called Fel Rune Barrier. Don't know what that is. Probably some shield, take some damage. And several scenarios that may be related to the event invasion point. So we don't know a ton, but if you are in the alpha, this is stuff you can visit as well in Azeroth and see where these invasion points are starting to take place. Do we have high hopes for a strong? I mean, I think Blizzard has not a spotty record, but an inconsistent record with launch events leading up to an expansion. I think it was real strong in Wrath of the Lich King. Yeah, that was real good, but then others not so much. Like where I feel like Cataclysm could have been a much cooler.
I mean, none of them were really incredible except for Wrath, which was really fun. At this stage, I don't really expect much from the invasion, the pre-expansion events anymore. I'd be pleasantly surprised if it was fun, but the main course is what is interesting, right? It's the expansion itself.
Yeah.
So,
but don't you think they Well, maybe they don't care, but or maybe I don't know where they stand on it. But isn't there some value?
I'm sure
in,
they do, but maybe
isn't there a value
a
in
resource allocation?
If you just want that thing to be so strong leading up to it that you've just whet everybody's appetite in a way that has them all jazzed to log in at midnight.
Like, do we need that anymore?
I don't know.
A big event leading up, and can we just have the launch?
I don't know. I mean, that's a good question.
Yeah, I don't like the kind of the temporary content. I'd much rather they put work into stuff that is available indefinitely, albeit, you know, if there's an NPC I can click on and experience that content again. I think, you know, for sometimes getting timed items and rewards are nice, and you see people walking around with the haunted memento ghost following them around, and it's like a badge of honor. But I would appreciate, you know, there being more class quests and more, you know, individual content that if I roll a hunter, I can then try out, less so than I wasn't subbed up for the first month and now I've missed out on being able to do that thing. If they're going to spend time, they should make more stuff.
It's kind of, I mean, doing class holes and class quests, and there's what, 11, 12 classes now in the game? Mm-hmm. It's a lot of content. And I don't know. I'd rather, I'm like Terpser, I'm sorry I have to say that, but I am in agreement with Terpser. I'd rather they spend time on this than...
I've always
Every
said
time
you're...
you say class holes, Patrick, I think you're saying class holes, like assholes with a C.
Yeah.
In front.
What a class hole.
Yeah. And I'm in the class hole. Hole?
Uh-huh.
Hole?
Hole? Hole?
Hole? Fast hole and oats. Yeah.
Yeah. Hole and oats.
I'm in the Chamber of Shadows for rogues. And there's Valyra Sanguinar right here. And there's Vanessa Van Cleef and a bunch of other characters. It's like I got
is
into
she
the
good?
Hole. And
is she? Wait, or is it, does it not matter?
Wait, she's supposed
Did we
to
kill
be
her?
Dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, we killed her. What the hell?
Well,
not anymore.
So everyone just gets to come back to life now. That's where we are. This is the Marvel Universe.
It's alternate Azeroth. It's a broken universe number 28 or whatever.
And yeah, exactly. Yeah,
maybe that means Tyrion isn't really dead either.
Oh, no one's dead, and yet everyone is.
Yeah.
That's what
everyone died. They all came back. There was an Infinity Gauntlet somehow.
Living in the dream of a dragon.
But every single artifact weapon could be just them kind of clearing house to make room for the player heroes. And that would be disastrous because players aren't heroes. We're not heroes. We're guys who, you know, we throw ourselves, we're immortal. You know, we never die. There's no, that's why they're saying, like, you know, once you crash upon the broken shore, you will be so utterly crushed and demoralized, you will feel the full power of the Legion raining down. It's like, well, no, I won't. I'll just corpse run back to my corpse and be like, all right, fair enough.
Well, obviously, so who would you rather have that incredibly powerful weapon that you only have one of? You're not going to leave it to stupid Tyrion who stays dead. You're going to give it to brave Terpster who can come back to life corpse run.
That's how it's going to have to go. That's the sad thing, isn't it? Isn't that terrible? The fate of Azeroth is in my hands.
I hope that's at his funeral.
Devastating.
Stupid Tyrion who's still dead. I like that.
Couldn't have been that strong with the light, could you, mate? You're dead. Where's your force ghost? I want like Obi-Wan Tyrion being there.
Yeah.
Just being like, oh, yes, keep putting your faith in the light. I'm like, thanks, Tyrion.
They can do that.
Woo.
Why not? Well, they had Arthas's dad do that at the end of the Lich King business there. Why not?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Why not?
Why not? They still form
Uther,
all kinds of things.
He's still in the old sword.
Here's a question for you.
Have you done the Death Knight?
No.
Oh, it's good.
I wanted to ask about that. I thought about that because it's a class I just never really go near. I don't really play ever with a Death Knight, and it just occurred to me, oh, I wonder if that's good, or is that just like, oh, Lich King over again, here's whatever. But you liked it.
So I really liked it because you revisit Bolvar, and Bolvar's the Lich King. He's not Bolvar King or anything like that. He's called the Lich King. He's the Lich King, albeit Bolvar is the body. And again, this isn't a spoiler because it happens within the first 20 minutes of playing the game. But if you don't want to know what happens when you get the blades, stop listening for the next 3 to 10 seconds. So I did the twin blades of the Fallen Prince, or the blades of the Fallen Prince, whatever they're called. So the Frost Knight dual wielding weapons.
Yeah.
And you go into Ice Crown. So Arceus, the Death Knight Citadel, whatever it's called, Necropolis, is flown and parked itself outside Ice Crown. And I like that Blizzard suddenly got all their floating cities and stuff. They're like, hang on, guys, they can float. So can they just move around? Let's move around. Cool. So you go there, you run through, and you're in then Northrend, and you fight your way through Ice Crown, picking up shards of Frostmourne, who currently they're all the same broken hilt of Frostmourne. I'm sure they fixed that. And you kill, like, you know, these different champions that their souls were tormented by Frostmourne. It's like, you know, it's like Moradin's brother or uncle. It's like, you know, Arthas's best mate and stuff like that. And you fight your way up the Citadel, and you assemble all four fragments together into these two blades. And then the blades contain a spirit that needs to be quelled. And you go into the blades to fight that spirit. And it is Ne'Zhul and Arthas, these two spirit entities. And Ne'Zhul is doing his kind of shadow wave things like he does in his dungeon encounter in Warlords. Yeah. And you're just Arthas is just wailing on you with a big hammer. And so you have to kill him.
Because mm-hmm. at the end of the Demon Hunter quest, you get to choose, you know, the companion things.
Yeah.
Do you?
No, that would be really cool.
Oh my God. I thought we're going to have Arthas follow you around. He would be your pal and you'd be like exchanging stories.
Exactly. And you'd go see Jaina and you'd be like, I tap that. And you'd be like, stop being improper.
Dad was like, oh no, stop, Arthas. Yeah. what a class.
Remember all these people that used to be alive, but then you came along? Yeah. So that's really cool. And it's like this massive moment, and you defeat him, and you know, then the blades are yours. And you go up to the Lich King, you know, giant Bolvar, who was just stupendously big. Like, as a male Death Knight human, I was like the size of his, like, from his foot to his knee. And he's just sat there, and I was just like, well, at what point in the story did he get, like, giantism? And he's just this, like, humongous guy. Anyway, and he's just basically like, yeah, go, you're my champion now. You're the Death Lord. And I was like, really? Okay, I'm the Death Lord. So then I go back to all the Death Knights, and Morgraine's like, yeah, I want to get back in the field. I want to be your follower. And I'm like, really? Like, you know, we got all these, like, badasses who now report to me. Like, I just click random on the character and random on the name, and I'm the best Death Knight there's ever been. But I'm sure if you...
All right, sorry, we had a glitch. Continue where you were.
Yeah,
keep
yeah,
going.
Yeah. So I'm saying, for me, because I just rolled a pre-made, everything feels very hollow. But I'm sure if you took your character and you've loved it and lived it, and like for my gnome warrior, which I've had since, you know, for over a decade now, I think maybe that would be cool. But then the warriors, their class hall is like Valhalla in this whole place we've never been with the Vykrul, because they were like, so what kind of cool badass warrior characters do we have in the lore? And they're like, we've got Varian Rin, and it's like, he's kind of needed elsewhere. We got Magni Bronzebeard,
Garrosh Hellscream,
but he's kind of dead and made of diamond. Garrosh, yeah, but he got fried by Thrall in a different dimension and time. We got Grom, but he's in a different dimension and time. I'm sure there's some really badass warriors that I'm not thinking of, but I've yet to meet them being a warrior. So I'm just confronted with all these new kind of, I get that the Vykrul are badass, and I love Norse mythology, and that, you know, if there's going to be a Valhalla type place where a big great banquet hall, where, you know, all of us amazing warriors go and feast and have a great time, then yes, please. That sounds great.
Yeah, that does sound all right.
It doesn't feel anywhere near as Warcrafty and of the lore and history as Light's Hope Chapel does for the Paladins.
Interesting.
And that's the tricky thing is, like, you know, rogues, they complained about getting the Dalaran sewers and how, you know, we got Ravenholt Manor, which was a place that a lot of original vanilla rogues spent a lot of time farming rep and, you know, spending time there. And that, yeah, you know, why didn't they go
like
there?
It would have been a better choice.
And that's the thing. And some of it just comes down to logistics. It's like, well, we're remaking a lot of Dalaran anyway. We're trying to update it, all the graphics, all the textures and stuff. You know, we put this whole new section in the middle. Mages go to the old kind of Council of Trisful headquarters. And, you know, the place where they used to infuse the power of seven mages into one to make the Guardian. And, you know, that's how you kind of start off, and you pick up all the items. And, you know, it's fun. It's really clever. And that kind of feels like, cool, this is from the history. For Warriors, it just, I don't know if it just was like, just everyone was like, can you think of anything? Nah, I can't think of anything.
Well, it's really pretty. Yeah. I get in that.
It is, and that's the thing. But it just doesn't feel as steeped in history as I feel like all the others, and everything should in this case. It kind of feels like, you know, this place should just be resoundingly, wow, this is where I'm, of course, this is where we belong. This is the place.
Yeah.
And that's the shame, for me, at least. And I'm sure, you know.
The chat room is suggesting, Dice Tomato in the chat room is suggesting Gammon as, I don't know how you pronounce it, Gammon.
Gammon, as, I will save the Horde.
Is he even a warrior?
He's a warrior. Wields a kind of a tombstone.
There you go. I think that would have been.
I joked on Twitter about, you know, in the Paladin class hall when you get crowned High Lord, in the crowd is pretty much every Paladin of note there's ever been.
Oh,
and like, you know, Lady Legrand kind of comes along, and Lady Ran or whatever her name is, you know, the Blood Knights, and says like, we pledge our allegiance to you, High Lord. But it didn't have Leroy Jenkins.
He's fake and
He's real. He's in the game.
He's in the game now.
They put him in the game. He should have been there. He was in my garrison over in Draenor. He should have been there.
But he's not a paladin. He's not a paladin of note, I would say.
He is the most famous World of Warcraft character.
He is a troll of note. He's the best troll in the game. That's what I mean.
Justin Bieber knows who he is.
Exactly.
He's real.
He's a Jeopardy answer. Like, there's no way that any other paladin in WoW is as famous as Leroy Jenkins.
What about Terpster? What about Bane? Bane's a warrior, right?
Yeah, exactly. Bane could have been brilliant as a, you know, as a, but I don't know if they were like, well, he's a faction leader as well. So,
I would have loved
that.
Do they need to be like neutral?
The leader anyway, but you just need to have these guys.
You need
guys,
to have somebody like pass that on to you.
And exactly. Someone who's just saying, you know what? You know, I respect you, and if I respect you, that's good enough.
Why doesn't Varian just pass you the torch? He could do it.
Well, but even then, that's fine.
He fell in the water, and now he can't.
And now he's standing in 2 feet of water.
Yeah. Well, I think I think my theory is he's dead as well, and I think that Anduin's going to become the new king of Stormwind, and he steps up to the plate. They've aged him up. He's ready to be his own guy.
Yeah.
He's got the bananas.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. He's out of NSYNC, you know, and it's great to see NSYNC coming back. But I think there's a lot of cool stuff, and it's less so those characters, but more so the locations. And I think that some of the class halls definitely feel cooler than some of the other class halls. And that's just unfortunate, really. Like Hunters, you know, the Hunter Lodge, I wasn't really, I don't know. The Druids get a kind of cool Moonglady type place, but it's in the Emerald Nightmare, or it's in like, it's part of that.
Yeah.
And I get that. That's part of this story as well, and it kind of makes sense.
I think that's what we were saying last week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, last week we were saying the ones that feel like castles and majestic and classical, you know, fantasy places look awesome, and the other ones look more meh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't like the new stuff for the Demon Hunters. Just seems super blah to me. I don't like it. It's just more of that stuff from that starting zone. It's just like, okay, everything's dark and green and purple and. Here we are. Like, I don't know. There's nothing in there ties me to anything. I don't feel any kind of connection.
But I think maybe that idea is just like, this is a part of the game. It's not garrisons. You're not going to just experience this for another year. You know, I'm really glad that garrisons look amazing because I spent so much time in there. But I would like class halls to be less of the game. And I think hopefully that's how it goes.
Yeah. It's early yet. So who knows? Some of that stuff's probably still getting added and changed and tweaked and whatever. I got a question. Do you guys think, it just occurred to me, are these weapons that we're trying to get and unlock and receive and then advance and make better and all that, right? These artifact weapons, are they just glorified heirloom weapons? At the end of the day, is this just that template? And
the way you, you know, the artifact power and how you spend that through the tree, you know, it take months to get enough power to fill that tree up. And then it's a scaled weapon that you just use.
But it's not just a scaled weapon.
Yeah, you unlock the cosmetic things from killing cool bosses.
Obviously, it's a lot more than just a scaled weapon. I mean, obviously. But I guess what I'm saying is, And it's not, I'm not meant to be a controversy, but do you think it's this evolved out of that? Like it just, it,
no. Well, I don't think so. I think it is literally that whole thing.
It's Path of the Titans.
Yeah, it's Path of the Titans. Mm. And because they trimmed the talents and the classes down so much and they reworked it, they've been able to reintroduce that complexity they removed through the weapons. And that allows them to balance it. Before, Path of Titans was abandoned because it was just, WoW was too complicated for them to work all the numbers and make it work in an efficient way.
Yeah.
So now they simplify things to add in this extra complexity through a new system. And it works great. And I mean, I love it. And I think actually people look at it and think, oh, that's actually, they've made it easier for themselves. You just got one weapon now, so they don't have to do all these different drops and things like that. Whereas now actually they've got to make even more assets and weapons than they normally would make. And you know, you unlock those through, you know, quests and achievements and raids, and you'll kill Sargeras's avatar at the top of the tower, the tomb, and you'll get like an Ashbringer that's, you know, fell infused or something like that.
Right.
They've kind of backed themselves into a corner though, right? Because you get Ashbringer, you level it up all crazy, and then when the next expansion comes out, like, do we keep Ashbringer and we're just like, we always have Ashbringer now? Like, or are they like, oh, and then a green drops off of a troll.
Yeah.
And Tyrion comes back.
It's way better.
But it's always been like that. You get you know, legendary weapons, and then you have to exchange them for. But then, Tyrion comes back. You know, he's like, "Oh, I wasn't really dead. I was just, you know, I was really tired. Can I have my Ashbringer back, please?"
Well, okay, but it's a good point. And someone, Relix in the chat room, asked a very same question. If we get to the new expansion, and this is obviously,
Relix says the same.
Yeah, thing. Obviously we're jumping.
What do we do later?
We're jumping way ahead.
If I was Blizzard, I would introduce a new leader of your class, and you hand over your artifact weapon to them, and you say, "You know what? I'm needed over on Argus. I need to go defend the Draenei from this Burning Legion invasion over there. You need to stay here and protect Azeroth. Here's this weapon. Look after them while they're back." And they're like, "Cheers. Okay, well you take my sword, and then we'll go."
They tie it in, and it makes sense, and the story, you know, the lore, all kind of ties together. That's fine. It's just weird if like, this is the biggest deal of the expansion. We're using these weapons.
Well, it's so,
and all of a sudden it's like, yeah, well, whatever. That was last. Like,
it's,
I don't
always
like
been
that
like
kind
that.
Of. Yeah, but
it's
that's,
a, why are you all of a sudden worried about. It
I'm not
sounds
all of a sudden.
Kind of
I always thought that legendaries were kind of weird because you get them and then suddenly they don't matter anymore. Like,
yeah, but you know, you know what?
I'd rather
it's
scale.
Gameplay first. It's not like.
Yeah,
we're gonna
leave
you with your weapon forever.
But this is also why I always thought I should be able to transmog legendaries, and you can't.
Exactly.
Like I think that I should still feel like, hey, I earned these legendary weapons.
It now.
I still wear them.
And equally, you can transmog these artifacts as well, so you don't have to have it look like that. But the reality is certainly the weapon is more intrinsic to the story and to the game than it's ever been before.
Yeah.
and I'm sure that they could deal with that if they wanted to. I don't think quoting Blizzard values is a good thing to do, Patrick, because there's so many times they don't stand by their values. And you know, that's the thing. Like,
I think gameplay first is what is one value that they stand by. Anything
one,
that is
more
an issue.
Consistent. Yeah.
Okay. Well, now we're getting into primary political debate territory.
Yeah, exactly. That's
I
the problem.
We should, we should stop right here and stay friends, because people are going to get angry now.
No, they won't get angry. Here's the thing. If you,
I want to play nice. I want to play fair.
Blizzard does things sometimes where you're like, what? That seems counter to that. Like they did.
I just always get angry because it's the think globally thing, and basically the UK always gets shafted.
Yeah.
You know, we always get, you know, like the adventure comes out second, or you know, all the Americans are doing this, and you know, or we're paying twice as much. I don't know, but anyway,
thinking globally and acting globally, two very different things.
Yeah, they probably are. They're thinking.
But also, like when this controversy, which we don't need to talk about in depth, but this controversy with the Vulture mount in Heroes of the Storm and how that was released and how it feels like it punishes veteran players and. How it's kind of made people do a bunch of Smurf accounts and messed up matchmaking, and like that feels like a gameplay last decision in a lot of ways. So
what's the issue?
Well, all right, here's the
base. Recruit a friend.
They introduced Recruit a Friend into Heroes of the Storm, and the way you get Recruit a Friend is you get 5 other accounts to play up until level 10, and then once you do, you get a really cool mount.
Yeah.
But essentially, since the game's been out for a long time, a lot of people have already recruited friends, but now want a mount. Really, really cool mount.
The coolest mount, perhaps.
So what they're doing is just creating Smurf accounts and leveling them to 10 and saying they recruited them. And so it's making the whole game weird because everyone's like, so people have posted on the Reddit, like, you know, ironically, this might be the worst time to introduce your friend to Heroes of the Storm because the game is really bizarre and weird and everyone's on different accounts.
Yeah, super janky and I hate that they did it and they are being really cagey about
why. It's a great idea.
Sure.
Bring your friends in and we reward you.
Sure.
And it's just implemented horribly.
It's like, very the only
how about just one friend, bring them in, play like three games with them, like at the same time as them.
Something more like the Cho'Gall deal.
Wouldn't people do the same thing though? Create a fake account and then
like multi-box? You know. Yeah. I don't know, maybe.
Screw it. Does it matter? Like, what's the actual value of, you know, how much value are you placing on a single mount?
That's the point. That's my entire point. Make me just tell me it's $15 and I'll buy it. Like,
just not and just let people Smurf it. Fine. Great. Carry on.
Yeah,
but they made it too much. You have to invest too much time ruining the game. If it was, I send a link out and I make, and, you know, 10 people redeem the link.
You're right.
Now I've got a mount and that's it. They're dead accounts. Oh, well, c'est la vie. But again, they went to the point where it affected the game.
It's jacked up.
Yeah, that's actually better, Terpster. If they did something where they just said, look, if people click this link and create accounts, fine, done. You have a mount. Because a certain percentage of those people will continue to play the game. And that's good enough, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Like, we don't need to make sure that they all stick around for 10 levels.
So you're basically describing why spam works. Because ultimately, it's just, and you're right, it's a numbers game.
It's a numbers game. Yeah. It's like, if we send this to enough people, eventually, and them will click
it. And they're trying to maximize the effectiveness of it. And they're trying to say, like, how do we avoid people exploiting this and taking advantage of this? And what they fail to realize is that gamers game everything.
We'll exploit it.
And if
regardless.
I can game it, exactly.
It seems
so it hurts the product.
Yeah,
it sounds like something, the way you're describing it, if people are actually making, you know, tons of ghost accounts to level what is it, 10? That takes a long time, so
it's
gonna affect the game to the point that I wouldn't be surprised if they changed it.
Exactly, those hardcore people who don't deserve to be playing against new people are smurfing against those new people en masse to get this product now, and that's
that's the problem. And I think the fact that it would affect the game so much, I think they're going to address it. They can't. It makes complete sense that it's going to ruin the thing.
Dustin Browder's actually said on Twitter that, we didn't realize it was having this, or it was going to have this negative of an effect. But the thing is that they've already, even before this happened, because of the way that the MMR works and they haven't reset it and matchmaking is kind of bad, a lot of people played the game for a while, realized I can't rank up because my MMR was like so screwed from when I started playing the game and I didn't understand how to play, that they've made Smurf accounts and they're playing those to get them to rank one, because now I can start with a fresh MMR and I can actually get it up. But that's also made the game weird, because you leveled a bunch of characters on this account, you purchased a bunch of things on this account, but I can't actually get to rank one even though I'm pretty good at the game. So a lot of people are playing on Smurf accounts already, and it's just bizarre.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of weird stuff.
Yeah, that's a different problem.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, the way that they've handled things in Heroes,
it's been weird.
It's already been inconsistent and not great.
It feels like beta stuff. This stuff should have been wrong. This feels like things that should be worked out in a beta. I understand live means something very different, and, you know, a year into the game.
We found out at BlizzCon, actually, me and some of the Stormcast guys, that there's a lot of things going on in the background that will fix a lot of these problems, but it's just taking a long time, man.
Yeah, and they're being cagey about it, and that's my problem. Just be a little more transparent about what you're changing, and then we'll at least know something's coming that will fix all that. Because, you know, I freaking love that game, and I don't want it to be mistreated. That's all.
Sometimes, though, if you talk about your change before you know it, people get upset because the change changes, and then they get upset about the change changed.
But you said you were going to do this on December 2nd on
Where's
Twitter.
Where's my moose?
2022.
Yeah, exactly. And it does it. It can really, you know, be tiny little things, or it can be really severe things. And it's just, it's frustrating to punish transparency, but that's what we as a gaming community do on a day-by-day basis.
Yeah, pretty much all the time. That's true.
We want to know everything about everything you're going to do.
Terpster briefly referred to it. I just want to bring it up one more time. There are Diablo goblins in Legion.
Yeah.
It's literally...
Has anyone killed one yet? I don't think they've killed them yet.
No, they're actually called...
They're too, what are they called? They're max level or something.
But I guess no one's got enough deeps. You know, I was hoping people would be able to zerg one down or something like that, but...
Treasure Demon, they're called. Treasure Demons. Anyway, they drop a Sanctuary coin, which right now seems worthless.
Sanctuary. Diablo.
It pops a portal and escapes. It drops some other junk right now. Nobody knows what these things are for. They're all in the alpha, but people believe that toys and pets and other rares may show up, and these things are going to pop all over the world all the time.
I can't wait.
Yeah. That's, again...
It makes sense, though, as well, because the Legions come here. They've come in their big kind of dreadnought class spaceships and stuff like that, filled with all these cool things, and everyone's popping out of portals all over the place. Yeah, I can't wait.
What do you say to players who are annoyed by that kind of crossover? Because people sometimes get all worked up about that. They don't like the... Well, like
No, because it's a homage. It's not a direct. They're not Sanctuary. They're not from
right.
They didn't pop out of actual Diablo world.
Exactly. We're not seeing like Deckard Cain's book. You know, and if we did, it would be a lovely nod. It wouldn't actually be Deckard saying like, "Oh yes, I've returned." and then you're like, "Really?"
No, I get that. What I mean is, I don't know. There's some players that still have an issue with.
I think
their
it would be
motorcycles
if all
being
of a sudden like a siege tank came out.
Yeah.
And well, actually, no. Wait, we've had those. I think it'd be weird if gyrocopters. Everything's in WoW. It doesn't matter. As long as it's off WoW, it's fine.
Yeah.
If you're going to go to WoW and expect some kind of not consistent, but super serious fantasy type of universe, you've probably targeted your game wrong WoW has always been about some serious stuff, and if you want to get into the lore, you definitely can. But also a lot of wacky, fun, let's not take ourselves too seriously stuff, which honestly has made it what it is and has made it the success it is. So
yeah. I don't want to have fun when I play WoW. I just want it to be serious. I want to do my rotation. I want to min-max.
Some people want these kinds of things. And remember that before WoW came around, MMOs were basically super serious fantasy stuff where, it was the EverQuest and the Ashram's Calls. Not even necessarily gameplay-wise, but it was the universes were very consistent with... It was like Lord of the Rings. You wouldn't have a, night elf that would break out into... Michael Jackson dancing all of a sudden, obviously. That was sort of blasphemous, like what Terpser just did.
Yeah, exactly. And
so if you want a super serious experience, you can probably go to another MMO, but WoW is not, it's wacky and fun. It's not that.
That's why the movie is also called Warcraft, context, not World of Warcraft.
Yeah, good point.
The movie's not going to have too much... dancing, sadly.
A little less levity in the film.
Wouldn't it be great if they face off in the battlefield and all the orcs are just doing the MC Hammer, can't touch this, just, woo. But, juggernauts of orcs, that'd be great.
Yeah. I mean, look, I'm totally playing Devil's Advocate.
And at the end of the movie, Elite Tauren Chieftain play during the credits.
Perfect.
Like a proper Warcraft game. That'd be amazing.
Worst idea ever. I hope they don't do that. Let's talk briefly about the Explorers.
Wouldn't
roundup.
It be weird, actually, this time next week,
what?
It would be coming out.
Oh,
but it's not because of Star Wars.
Oh, right. That's
the
right.
Original, we would have been like, oh my God, it's next week.
How done is that movie? It's done, right?
It's finished. Yeah, it was finished like, 9 months ago.
Yeah.
We were chatting to Metzen at Nataculo and he was like, yeah, I've seen it. It's amazing.
Are you guys all going to Star Wars day one?
I'm seeing it on day zero. Sorry, because we get it early. So,
okay.
I'm just going to kind of go on there and just like, my theories, I'm just going to post them anyway. And just before I go and see it, and just not tell anyone that that's my theory. Because either I've spoiled it for everyone or nailed it.
Yeah.
So I wanted to go see it at a very specific theater because they're opening an Alamo Draft House in San Francisco finally.
Oh, right.
Yeah. And so they went on sale.
Yeah.
And I went to the site and I was like refreshing all day. And then like 5 days were already sold out by the time like I clicked it. And I'm like, dude, I've been on this freaking website.
Yeah.
How did a bunch of people
beat me? I'm seeing it on a Dolby Atmos at 10 a.m. on the 17th.
Okay.
And then we booked a director's hall for the company. So we're all going to see it at 2 p.m.
Oh, nice.
On the same day. So I'm seeing it twice on the same day.
Wow.
Twice on the same day. It's going to really suck if you hate it, man.
Well, exactly. And the thing is, I got invited to a press screening along with some of the other guys here on the 16th in London. But we're doing our charity stream, so we couldn't see it then. And seeing it twice the following day kind of meant it's not worth
going
too far.
Yeah. So my actual ticket for that theater is not until the 26th, so I'm going to have to go.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I'm going to have to just go, like, in the middle of the day to some other theater.
Yeah, you got
to
slum it in some crap theater.
I really hope I like it, but I hope I don't love it to the fact where I see it more than the two times I'm already seeing it.
Yeah.
Because otherwise I'm going to be dressed up in, like, you know, my kind of BB-8 costume. Just this big inflatable ball, just going, woo, boop, 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 boop. And everyone's like, what's this? And I'm like, don't worry, you'll get it. You'll get it.
I would pay money.
That's a reference.
Pay money to see that cosplay.
I think the BB-8, everyone's going to get there, so you're not, you know. Yeah. I could go see it on the 16th, but then my wife got an invitation from some person she works with to see it in a better theater on the 17th. So now I'm wondering if I should go see it on the 16th and on the 17th.
Yeah, do it.
But
yeah, why not?
I don't know.
Do it. Do it.
What's better than one Star Wars? Two Star Wars, right?
we'll see.
That's just math.
Do it.
Yeah, do it.
It is. It does make sense, sir. I mean, Dills.
Tell me about the Hearthstone expansion. Who's played all the way through all the wings now? It's all out.
Obviously.
You were streaming that yesterday. I watched a bit of it.
I made the All Explorers deck and actually won a lot of games with it. Yeah. So the new wing, you finally get Elise Starseeker, which is amazing. So she's a 4-mana 3/5.
Golden monkey.
When did you get the play monkey? Her. I did. I got the monkey dream several times, actually. Yeah.
Wow.
So the deck I was playing was a Warlock deck with Reno Jackson, Elise Starseeker, Sir Finley Murgleton, and Rafam. So I had them all in there. Oh, and Harrison Jones was in my deck, too. And Bran. Yes, and Bran.
Wow.
So just explain a little bit what they do
and why it's amazing, because I'm not sure the people listening all know that.
This deck is the best deck I've ever played. Sir Finley Murgleton allows you to choose a different hero power, which is just crazy. Rafam is a 7/8 that gives you a 10-mana card that does something crazy, and you get to choose which one you get. Elise Starseeker has the potential, if you can draw the rest of your deck, to turn all of your deck and your hand into legendaries. Reno Jackson heals you all the way back to full if you don't have doubles in your deck, which you don't if you play a deck with only singles like I was. And Bran allows you to do battle cries twice. So basically, the entire deck is just ridiculous. Everything I can do in the deck is just stupid fun, and it was the most fun I've had in Hearthstone in a long time. And I actually won. I went like 7-3 with the deck. So
is it ridiculous fun or ridiculous OP?
No, it's not OP. If someone was playing like Face Hunter, they would just beat me.
Yeah, I think that's the funny thing is there's not any broken combos discovered yet, at least.
Yeah.
In terms of there's nothing that you just like. I mean, anything can happen
is crazy. But
anything's
it's not broken because it takes a lot to make it work. Yeah.
You have to play Murloc deck, right? For
No. You just play 5 specific Murlocs.
Yeah.
And when you summon them, let them die. And when you summon them, you do like 24 damage or something in a turn.
So it's very hard to beat because it turns into almost it's a one turn kill really.
Yeah.
So that's tricky. I think the adventure I just did it just before the show, and I did it all on a tempo mage on normal.
Yeah, that's
and
what
the
I did too.
Class
yeah.
challenges are quite fun.
Steel Guardian with that Tempo Mage?
Yeah,
well?
The Tempo Mage is easy. Yeah, it's best one for that.
Actually, Tempo Mage is the best. Yeah, because Arcane Missiles hit it
Flame
Waker. One over and over again.
Yeah. Okay. Flame Wakers are great. And if
like,
you put
Handlock
a Ronin in
would
there
be the
well.
Worst. Like, you're like pounding it for 8 and it's just hitting it for 1 instead.
It's what annoys me, because Bran is one of my favorite cards. And so he makes any Battle Cry trigger twice. And they released Bran and Reno in the same expansion. And they didn't record Reno, because Reno says, like, we're going to be rich. And I want him to say, like, with Bran on the board, like, oh, we're going to be even richer as you heal for full twice in the same turn. But it's so much fun. I really, really like this adventure more than any previous adventure. It feels
amazing. No, it's amazing. It's the whole,
really good.
Like, the whole implementation of it, telling a story as you go through, it just all kind of ties in. Like, oh, we've finished the staff. And then all of a sudden it's like, haha, you did just what I wanted you to do. I'm Rafam. You know, it's like the whole thing tells a really great story. And because it's fresh and new, it just feels like this is Hearthstone, not we're rehashing World of Warcraft.
Yeah.
Which I think a lot of the other adventures.
Because all the other ones, it had like, you know, Kel'Thuzad, who was legitimately a scary character in World of Warcraft. being like this campy pantomime villain. Like, oh no, you're food. And then, like, you know, then you had, you know, Victor Nefarious being like, no, you want to kill more Ragnaroses. And then you get this one, which is as campy and fun, but doesn't
feel like
too,
it's
pissing on
anything. You're going to go fight Kel'Thuzad, and the innkeeper goes like, in Kel'Thuzad! And you're like, okay, come on, dude.
Yeah.
Like, that's not what happened.
It does feel like
Rafam did his own intro. Yeah. I liked him. He was like a comedian. He just did his own intro.
It's like the little...
Rafam, the best player ever!
It's like the Marvel characters that are the little kid versions, is what this reminds me of sometimes, and that's fine, but I do... It's super cool that they've gone to this more original approach. Maybe this is the sign of things to come. I know they want to be referential, but you think the all future...
It's Hearthstone Heroes of Warcraft, but now they're telling their own story. Like, they're like... It's like a side chain of World of Warcraft at this point, because, like, you know, the Grand Tournament was... the Argent tournament, but here's what happened after. And that kind of stuff I think is really cool. And referencing, you know, because this League of Explorers is essentially, oh, by the way, you know, there was a really cool museum that happened to exist in the dwarf, you know, city.
Well,
it exists in World of Warcraft, and stuff like that. Yeah.
But I think equally the actual adventure itself, the game modes in there, you know, they had, you know, fun modes, like, you know, you've got to survive 10 turns. You've got to do this. You've got to do that. It felt more different than some of the previous ones. And I think each adventure has got so much better than the one before that you just kind of can't wait till the next adventure each time.
Yeah. And they've introduced a lot of really cool mechanics that make sense and use the game mechanics in a new and fun way. So when you fight Rafam, he actually has the Staff of Origination now. While he's charging it, he's invincible. Yeah, you can't do damage to him. When he finishes charging it, he summons some crazy, you know, minion, but he also becomes vulnerable for that turn, right? And while you're fighting him, your hero power turns into this zero mana, you know, open a box that, like, the League of Explorers has given you, essentially. So it's like you're opening an artifact, and you see what it does, and it does something crazy. And so, like, the whole time you're fighting him, it's like you're experiencing this story, this fight, and it's different than anything you've done before. And they've done that with a ton of the fights in this League of Explorers thing. Whereas when you're fighting the bosses, it was kind of like, well, how can we reference what the mechanics of that boss were within Hearthstone? And this time it's like they're just creating a brand new thing that's never been seen before in the game.
And it's amazing that the fight before, he steals your deck. So it starts off.
Yeah.
And you get given, like, he steals it, and he's like, I'm going to play with your deck. And then the League of Explorers is like, well, we got this old deck we put together for a tournament.
Yeah,
it's got a load of old stuff in it. And so you play that, and it's like a load of classic cards.
It's a terrible deck. You know? It really is, yeah.
But, you know, the way
that
you
was such a cool moment,
theory,
by the way. I didn't see it coming.
Give him, no, exactly. But you can give him like
so
a really
thanks
bad
for spoiling
deck.
It for everyone.
There you go. I've spoiled it in a fun way. Go experience it.
Yeah. Right. Real spoilers is kind of scary.
No, I was streaming and everyone in my chat was like, oh, this is going to be good. And I was like, what are you guys talking about? And then I click and I'm like, what? That's a really good deck he just took from me. And but then I still beat him.
I love when a chat room does that. I did that the other day with I'm catching up on old games. So I was playing Wolf Among Us. And I got to the scene where everyone in the chat room knew that when I opened this door, a giant Grendel was going to come out and murder me. And I had no idea. And they were all like, wait for it, wait for it. I'm like, what are you guys even talking about? And then, of course, I did it. And
I hate when Grendels kill you.
A little pee came out. I'll admit to that. let's move on to the beta being over in Overwatch and how sad we all are. But also, there's some good news.
Excited?
Yeah, I'm excited about this. No, not, did I say I was excited about it? I'm excited about the news, not the beta ending.
Oh, okay.
I hate
excited about what's going to happen when it comes back.
Yeah, yeah. When it comes back, we're getting progression stuff and some other things. But also, they announced something. In the game's post-release, future updates, including maps and characters, will not be DLC. They will not be paid. They are going to be free additions to the game.
Yep.
Which is great freaking news. In light of things like this
weird
recruit-a-friend thing that's on the back of another weird sale they're doing, like all that weirdness going on over with the Heroes, it's nice to see another one of Blizzard's properties getting a little bit of love for the players. And I'm not saying, look, I'll play. I want to pay for good content, But I guess I'm a little surprised. Are we? Is anyone surprised that they're doing this?
I wouldn't be surprised if we
saw
Well,
Dills is it. He did call it.
Yeah, I called this. This is what I thought.
Do you think they'll do expansions, though, as well?
Well, no. What they're saying, the problem...
That's the last time we ever pay?
So, yeah, basically, the reason Kaplan went and clarified this was that they were not clear at BlizzCon, and people were saying that they didn't want to actually commit to anything. I think, you know, we discussed it, but I think they hadn't made a final decision. They wanted to be able to change their mind. But there was a lot of discussion and a lot of controversy in the community places, most notably Reddit, where people were complaining that if you have to buy heroes or buy game modes or stuff like that, it would split the community and it affects gameplay because you can change heroes whenever you want. So Kaplan specifically made a video to address this issue and a few others that were being discussed by the community to lay some concerns to rest. And basically what I'm trying to say is that now that he has said heroes and game modes will be patched in for free, that's the kind of statement that you can't go back into. You can't go back on.
No.
Sorry.
Yeah, you cannot.
So there is no way. I mean, if they ended up making expansions that you would need to buy to you know, get the heroes, that would be actually lying from the what they've said before. I don't think they would do that.
No, and they'll make plenty of money off of skins and
exactly
of, you know, exactly. Cosmetic items. There's not going to be hurting for cash and ways to bring it in.
I mean, I would not have been surprised that they added you know, expansions or something with characters. I even though it would have split the player base for sure, but now they've committed to not doing that. I think it's good for the game because obviously everyone is saying it is, and they know FPS is better than I do. I am a tiny little bit concerned that it might mean they're going to provide less content and work on the game less. But on the other hand, Blizzard games are always supported for a very long time, and that's the case for Diablo with the expansion. They've added 4 major patches that have had a lot of content in it. And in Overwatch, you can... potentially easier to add a character. It's like a MOBA or a hero brawler. You can just create the character and add it. It seems like balancing is going to be the blunt of your work, and the character itself is not as much work as a new zone for Diablo.
Well, also balancing is less of the blunt of your work. Is that what you said?
Yeah,
the blunt?
We're gonna have blunt.
Sorry,
we're going with blunt. Okay. I think it works, and I'm gonna put I love WoW.
I think you meant brunt, but that's fine. I like blunt of my work. But anyway, it's yes, but no. Like, in other words, in Heroes, it's more work than it is in this game. Why? Because you can't make something ridiculously OP. That's true. But you can have a little bit of give either way, because this is a game that allows for quick character switching and countering in ways that people don't expect. Like, I think they have an easier path. The harder path is making characters that are compelling, interesting, and have backstory without being told anything the way they've done it so far, which is pretty amazing in my opinion. So that's the hard bit. The easier bit is just getting them out there. So maybe they're looking at it from that perspective, and that just doesn't cost as much.
The balancing in the game is incredibly important, because if you have a character that is I'm going to take off those glasses again, sorry.
Migraine. Carry on.
If you have a character that has an issue, especially since you can stack them, it creates a big problem for the game. And I don't see that it's going to be... You're seeing comps, you know, for you have teams stacking 4 Divas and a Lucio and maybe 1 attack character, and then it's becoming an issue. Maybe it's because it's still early in the beta and people might not have found how to counter things like that, but it basically, if you get a character wrong balance wise, it's a huge problem for the game.
I agree, but I'm just saying they have more flexibility. That's all.
But the thing is like, that's also the reason why. Like, this is a reason why they have to do it the way they're doing it, I think, because it is also a big problem for the game if some people have some characters and some people don't have some characters, right? So you can make characters that are very different and weird as long as they have a counter, it's okay.
The way they're going to monetize this game is cosmetic skins. It's going to be like Dota 2.
Right.
And so you're going to get every character for free. I mean, Dota 2, you can buy the game, and I think eventually you won't do that. Exactly. And you'll just buy skins.
And you have sprays. You know, you have the
sprays exactly, and they're doing master skins like in Heroes, and there's going to be new taunts on, you know, the kill screen and stuff like that, that you'll pay for an animation like in Destiny. And people be like, really? You will, because you will. There's a billion ways for them to monetize the game without affecting the gameplay. And I think it's really smart. And I mean, you've only got to see, you know, the way that Metzen and Jeff light up when they start talking about characters from this world. They want to just add so many that they don't want to be hampered by, you know, are people going to actually play this character? Are they going to, can we justify the resources? You know, it's like, yes, let's put more and more into this game. And when you look back on the, like, even the announcement trailers, there's characters in the background, you're like, is that guy throwing like, I don't think there's a character that does that. And it's like, oh, they're going to get added. You know, and then you've got, you know, the guy in the cinematic talking about, you know, Doomfist, and talking about the guy with the chest missiles. And, you know, it's all these things where it's like, these characters, we're going to see them. We're going to get them. I love it. I think it's going to be a great time.
Yep.
And it's, I mean, it surprised me that they committed to it. It seems like for Overwatch, they're really doing everything right. I mean, there's controversies on every game, but for Overwatch, I think they've answered everyone's fears in every instance. And knowing how resistant culturally the company is to committing to something, I'm surprised that they did.
I think the biggest difference is this was one of the first titles they've released since Patrick left. And I think not having that influence internally has allowed them just to really make some clever decisions. Yeah. So
well, the fact is, really though, when they release new characters, new people will buy the game. Whether they charge for those specific characters or not, it's really just, if we can continue to make the game better, people will then shell out money later if the game is like, oh, this game is really good, you guys. By the way, this game is really good. New characters are out. Oh, well, I'll buy the game now. That's going to happen. So they're still making money when they release new content. And I think that that's actually going to be, like, I don't see this being a deterrent from them working on new content. I see it actually being like, we need to continue to put out new content to continue to have it, like, be fresh. Yeah. For people who haven't bought it yet to then give it a shot.
It also occurs to me that part of the, you know, we all know that this has its roots in Titan, what Titan was kind of going to be, and that this was, you know, mostly the world they were looking at, and they've decided to make this instead. It's part of me is like, well, isn't this the way it's worked out best for Blizzard to start, not small, but earn your keep, pay your dues with your games before you make them into big, giant things? I'm still not sure that Overwatch is not going to end up being not only a long-running shooter franchise, but perhaps something else.
You really think they're going to have, like,
I reckon
Overwatch Black Ops and, like,
no,
Overwatch? Like,
not like that.
I really don't think that
not
they're
like
going to have
not like
Overwatch,
that.
And then we're just going to have, like,
but these short
content.
Films, these short animations, I'm sure will spin out into Blizzard does a fully animated cinematic movie, and that first movie will be Overwatch.
Because
they have all the assets, they have a proven audience, it'll be a game that's on the up, they'll be able to build it as their first thing. And then once they've done that, that unlocks them to go back to other Blizzard franchises and say, hey, should we do a StarCraft movie? Let's do it. And let's put all of this resource into that. Sure they'll be confident.
I'm gonna do one of those things where I'm going to try to call something. The problem is this may happen so late in life, I may be dead by the time it happens.
Oh, wow. Holy crap. Well, I'll tell my daughter about it, Scott. And she'll tell her children, and they'll tell their
Scott
children.
Scott called it.
There will be...
And they say, who? Oh, you know him. In the annals of...
There was
it's just an expression. It's just an expression that you tell your friends when something happens. You're like, oh, Scott Golden.
Yeah.
Oh, you beat me to it.
It's every time they get something wrong. Here's my prediction that one day there will be an Overwatch quote-unquote MMO. Whatever MMO means in 5-10 years, there will be an Overwatch MMO.
It's weird, actually. When you click on Steam and click on MMO, you see these games and you're like, really? Is that an MMO? That's Team Fortress. How's that an MMO? But it's, you know, I get there's lots of people playing online. Really?
Yeah, well, the terminology may change.
Persistent worlds and stuff. But yeah,
it will one day be a game where we all get in there and we're all in a kind of a World of Warcraft kind of.
Yeah, I disagree with you, but that's fine. That's fun. That's the beauty of life.
Yeah, no one will be able to prove this.
What I agree with you is that it will be a tenacious franchise.
Yeah.
So I'm sure that we will see more from this in the future. But I
do you know what my friend in 2001 told me? My Diablo playing friend I used to get online with. I won't say his name.
They'll never make a Diablo MMO that you would call World of Warcraft.
No, he said. He said. I said to him. I can't prove this. So you're gonna have to take my word for it. But I said to him, "I'll bet." I said, "I'll bet they end up doing like Ultima Online, but they do it in the Warcraft universe." That was my exact quote. And he said, "You're crazy. That'll never happen." Huh?
You
interesting.
Were crazy.
Interesting.
That's insane.
Mike Morheim.
There you go. I gave him the idea. He didn't think of it, and he said he mulled it over late. And he said, "You know what?"
My point is, saying Warcraft could be an MMO sounded like crazy talk in 2001. That's all I'm saying.
And you know what happened?
What?
You called it.
Scott called it. I can't prove this one, so I'm not going to take that stance, but I'm just telling you that Overwatch is not going to be just a shooter.
If you do, it's got to be controversial, Scott. I'm telling you, there might be lawsuits. There might be, you know, I think you should stay on the safe side of this and not claim it. Not claim all the credit.
I think Blizzard should just give you a 25-year card and just say, Scott, enjoy the product of your calling. Okay.
Yeah.
We don't want to pay you anymore.
Make ScottCalledIt.com and we can just have like a list of all the things. Then we can like go back and reference it so we always know.
Starting to see some Blizzmebo action. All my predictions are coming true.
Patrick and I have to fall on our swords. That's the problem.
Well,
I said eat my hat. You can fall on your sword if you want.
I'm gonna
eat your scarf. You got to eat a scarf. He can
Patrick,
fall on
you
a
actually
sword.
Have a sword, though, don't you? Didn't you work there long
enough? I do. Yes, of course, I stayed.
I don't have one.
Why do you think I stayed for 5 years?
Exactly.
And left the day after. Yeah. No, I can fall on my. Well, I could, but I won't. So, Terpster, if you really want to fall on a
sword.
You can fall on my sword. And I realize that sounds a little bit dirty, but we're just talking about the World of Warcraft.
I'm okay with it. I'm okay with that. That's fine.
Yeah, let's talk later.
Yeah.
I mean, your beard is voluptuous.
It's pretty awesome. Hey, Movember's over, but don't stop. Just keep it going.
Exactly. I'll keep going.
That's going to do it for the show. Thanks, everybody, for being here.
Okay.
Hopefully, everyone enjoyed most of our spoilers and things. Wasn't too bad, I don't think. I think we did all right. Let's go around the horn and see what's going on. Dills, you have an interesting Christmas streaming event happening that sounds exciting. You want to tell people about it?
Sure. So on the 14th, we will begin the 12 Dills of Christmas. And essentially what this means is that we're just going to stream every day and hang out and celebrate Hanukkah.
That sounds all right.
But it's just me streaming. Like, a lot of people are like, oh, so what are you going to do? Is there a whole thing played out? No, we're just streaming.
Just streaming.
Every day for 12 days.
You should make a very crude advent calendar, and behind it's the same door, and inside is just a beer. And so it's like,
let's see what's in the Garrett
today. It's a beer!
And then you can drink it. Yeah,
That's not a bad idea. Actually, my mom was telling me that she was going to buy this advent calendar that had a different rare whiskey in it for each day.
Oh, weird.
And
it's
cool. Like a few hundred bucks or something like that.
Yeah, Lewis
has got really good.
Lewis has got the gin one. And
nice.
He did pretty much all of them in one night. So I think you're meant to
like,
do one
let's
a day.
Just celebrate
but
Christmas.
Yeah, exactly. It isn't Christmas until you've been, you've got blood poisoning from alcohol.
But it'll be really fun. People will be joining me. Specifically, though, I want to highlight the sixth Dills of Christmas, where I'll be joining Ashley on her stream. We will Fake Gamer Girl is her Twitch channel, and we will be doing a vegan cooking stream from her house. I think Jerry's going to be there too, and we're going to make a gingerbread house, candy cane cocktails, and vegan shepherd's pie.
Is there a microphone and camera running the entire time? Well,
streaming it.
All right. Well, the reason I ask is then of course Jerry will be there because it'll be on.
Yeah, I'm sure Jerry will be popping in and out of the kitchen trying to get at my gingerbread house, man.
Yeah, that sounds
but it's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to it.
Get away from my gingerbread house, Jerry.
I've never made a gingerbread house. I thought maybe Ashley was an expert. Turns out she's never done it either. So,
I'm worried about those poor gingerbread people when it hasn't been built to code and all the gingerbread foundations and gumdrop.
We're going to have to bring in the gingerbread inspector.
Exactly. It's going to be condemned and you have to eat it.
It's gonna be
fantastic. So everybody come join me on my Twitch stream, which is twitch.tv/WillyDillsSF 14th through the 25th, and then on I believe it's the 19th twitch.tv/fakegamergirl.
Nice. Patrick, what's going on? We're doing Pixels on Monday. I can't wait. It's going
to
be fun.
Yeah, yeah. We're going to be doing Pixels on Monday, so you can pre-subscribe to Pixels on any podcast player you currently use, and you can also find it at frenchspin.com. And other than that, not much. I guess not Patrick on Twitter and Facebook.
Nice. Terpster, what's happening over there, man?
We're 11 days into our Christmas charity drive over at Yogs. So go to humblebundle.com/yogscast, pick up the bundle. It's $25 or more. You can give to charity, 7 amazing charities. You get some phenomenal games, such as, I'm just going to go there because obviously I can't remember them all. Mm. There's so many. There's Guns of Icarus Online, Chivalry, Medieval Warfare, Defcon, Medieval 2 Total War, Block and Load, Premium Pack DLC, Ace of Spades, Chronicle, the kind of Hearthstone-esque game from Jagex, the RuneScape. And it's actually really fun. I was playing that the other day. I loved it. Gunpoint, Torchlight 2, Tango Fiesta, Diskstorm, The Weaponographist, Armored Warfare, T-62 main battle tank as part of Armored Warfare, Elite Dangerous skin for the Cobra Mark III, a Total War Arena premium account and exclusive Yogscast-style shield, Guild Wars 2, the Heroic Edition, Wildstar, the Fateful Fortune Starter Bundle, and then we've got coming next week, we've got Gary's Mod, we've got Rust, we've got Awesome Noughts, and some other stuff as well. So it's all $25. It's amazing value. All of the money goes to charity. The devs don't get anything. Humble don't get anything. Of course, we don't get anything. 7 amazing charities. Go support it. Humblebundle.com/Yogscast. And yeah, we're loving it.
Jeez, it's fantastic deal, boom, dude.
Yeah.
I need to belly up. And
exactly.
Do it.
And after this stream, I'm on the stream at 8 p.m. So in an hour and 20 minutes, and we're doing karaoke on Twitch, and we're going to see how long we can do it before we get taken down for breaking terms of service.
Yeah, you should do that. Yeah, and you should go eat something between now and
then.
I
will try and eat something because otherwise I'll be vomiting everywhere.
A reminder to gamers everywhere that also, so the NVIDIA Twitch channel thing that I do or have done, the contract just ended for, called Experience Points, is going to continue on this Saturday, 12 noon to 2 p.m., I think. 12 noon to 3. 3-hour block on Saturday. That's Mountain Time for anyone interested in catching up on that. We're going to keep it alive.
What about 4 o'clock, Scott?
That's still happening every day, Monday through Wednesday, and some Thursdays. And there's some fun. And I've been putting that up on YouTube as well, youtube.com/ScottJohnson. If you want to check that stuff out, please do. I guess that's
get it.
Out. Yeah, that's it, everybody. Thank you all for... Oh, and Hypothetical Help. Go get that.
Oh, yeah. Check us out. Patreon.com/HypoHelp.
Yeah.
Or HypotheticalHelp.com.
Terpster needs to eat. So we're here to help him.
I need to pay for my Christmas indulgences.
Thank you all for being here. It's the_T, Scott Johnson, Willie Dills, and of course, Not Patrick on Twitter. Find everything you need to know about us at theinstance.net and frogpants.com for more great shows like this. That's going to do it for us. Until next time, we'll see
bye-bye.
You then.
Bye
now.
Bye.
Bye. Well done, everyone.
Sweet.
Real world in-game political parallels raise uncomfortable questions. It's the Overly Dramatic News. I'm Hunts the Wind. Sometimes art imitates life. Sometimes life imitates art. And sometimes the resemblance is a little too close for comfort. Blizzard discovered this recently when people began noticing similarities between the political philosophies of Donald Trump and Garrosh Hellscream. The company was quick to deny any connection. A PR representative told ODN, quote, "When we came up with the Garrosh character, Donald Trump was just a blowhard reality TV personality outliving his 15 minutes of fame. How were we to know that he was going to become a racist demagogue with delusions of grandeur just like Hellscream? If anything, back then we modeled Trade Prince Gallywix after the guy." Since they were on the topic of separated at birth pairings, our reporter then asked about the eerie similarities between Gul'dan and former Vice President Dick Cheney. The rep suddenly became quite uncomfortable, stammering and visibly sweating. When asked what was troubling him, he said, "Everything. I mean, nothing. Nothing." Broadcasting across all Azeroth, I'm Hunts the Wind. Check out the archives at OverlyDramaticNews.com or follow me on Twitter at Hunts the Wind.
Greetings, gamers. This is Mewcow, a resident expert on a common gamer condition called altitis. So, you've decided it's time to give in to that alt itch. Welcome. Perhaps you are approaching a brand new game, or it is time to give your main a breather and see what the game has to offer those of our persuasion. Most games have a tutorial or starter area that begins your journey in the game. This area is often on rails and is designed to give you a taste of your new race or class, and typically the game itself. I recommend trying as many of these starter areas as you can, and not to give up too quickly on your new character. You may find a new favorite alt with this method, and for those of us dealing with altitis, we'll probably end up using these characters eventually, even if they don't shine right away. In many games, some of the best design and game lore happens to live in these starter areas, and it would be a shame to miss out on good content. And even if you aren't currently enjoying the altaholic lifestyle, this method just might help make it spread to you as well. If you have questions, tips, or want to discuss the topic further, find us on Twitter at altitis.net, and show notes can be found on altitis.net. On behalf of the Alt Army, we hope you find this information useful in the treatment of your altitis.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
And that's really exciting.